Lift your hands toward heaven. Can we take that song one more time? Whenever Sister Dieko sings this song, it stirs my spirit so much.
When we walk with the Lord,
in the light of His way, what the glory He sent on our way.
Thank you, precious Father, for the opportunity we have again to learn at your feet. Precious Holy Spirit, we ask that you open our understanding and empower us, Lord. Shift us from one level of glory to another, even as you strategically position us for impact in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you, woman of God. I think you are the only person singing hymns in Nigeria. She always ministers in hymns. What a blessing. What a blessing. Celebrate her one more time. Glory to God. It's a very unique ministry. Very unique ministry. Blessed be the name of God. Wow, what a blessing with God's servant, Pastor Boju Oyemade. Wisdom is something. Every word, every phrase, every sentence just carries something fresh and unique. We bless God for him, and we thank God for the ministry. This morning, I'll just be sharing with us briefly on spiritual empowerment for impact. It's a minister's session, so we want to look at some of the things that makes for empowerment in ministry, and we trust that the Lord will help us to journey as fast as possible. Without empowerment, ministry is not in view. Jesus, speaking in Luke 24:49, he said, "Tarry until you are endued with power from on high." Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In Acts 1:8, he returned again and told them to wait until the Holy Ghost comes upon them. And he said, "Not many days from now, you shall be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the world." This morning, we trust that the Lord will show us some of the secrets for empowerment and the dimensions of empowerment that we require for ministry. I remember the last time I was here, I outlined 5 basic credentials for a genuine call. And I told you that the first credential for a genuine call is a clear mandate. If your mandate is not clearly defined, you will not succeed in ministry. Glory to Jesus. Every ministry you see around the world making impact have clearly defined mandates. And so that's one of the first credentials for ministry. In Exodus 9:1, we saw that Moses reiterated the mandate God gave him in Exodus 3. He said, "Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may worship me." So Moses knew that his mandate was to deliver them from Egypt. There was no mincing word about it. His encounter with God on the mountains of Horeb in Exodus 3 was summarized in Exodus 9:1. "Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me." I told us, if you don't have a clear-cut mandate, you will struggle with anxiety. You will struggle with competition. You will struggle with bitterness. Because when you see others succeed, it will put pressure on you. However, if you understand your mandate, it will bring you into rest. I have no business with a dancer. He can dance and dance to the highest level in the world. I am not a dancer. I'm a preacher. I have no business with a footballer. His success does not infringe on my success. And even among those who are preaching, I have a defined mandate. Prophet Ayo Tegbe can give everybody word of knowledge. And he will end the service and give word of knowledge for 3 hours. He is a prophet. I am not a prophet. My job is to raise sons. So if I come to a service and he's prophesying, I will clap hands and jump and be excited to see God in manifestation, because it's his mandate. My mandate is different. The reason you find competition in the body of Christ, bitterness and all the battles going on, is because people don't know their mandate. And the moment you lose focus in ministry, you begin to decline. This is why every time God calls a people, he gives them a well-defined mandate, because everything will rally around the mandate the Lord has given to you. And you will see that replete in scripture. When John the Baptist came, he came baptizing. That was his mandate. They asked him, "Who are you?" He didn't say, "I am the son of a priest." He said, "I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare a way for the Lord." He knew his mandate. His duty was to identify the Messiah. And the moment he got it, he knew his job was over. And the reason he was baptizing was because baptism was a strategy to identify the Messiah. It's not because he was looking for something new to do. His whole assignment was to identify Christ. And he fasted, he prayed, he preached, all in the goal of identifying the Messiah. And he did it. John 1:23. "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare a way for the Lord." You will not succeed in ministry except as you know your mandate and you build your tent around your mandate. That is the first basic requirement for a genuine call. The second requirement for a genuine call is divine empowerment. And I'm outlining these 5 things because I'll be dealing with empowerment this morning. Divine empowerment. Any ministry that will be impactful must be empowered. Trust me, if you have no power, you are a lecturer. And you know, ministry is not just a business of men. It's a business of spirits. God is interested. Angels are interested. Demons are interested. And even men are principally spirits. So if you don't have power, you can't address the spirit of men. You will struggle and struggle and discover that the frustration will kill you. This is why you must be empowered. Jesus discipled men for 3 years. Jesus was their teacher. They followed him everywhere. So they didn't just read textbooks. They saw the master do the business himself. But before they started, he said, "Tarry until you are endued with power." Don't go out telling people, "I'm your lecturer." You will be cut off. "Tarry until you are endued with power from on high." He reiterated it again. "Wait until you receive power from on high." Listen, this idea of wearing a good suit and talking like somebody, building strategies from the mind, will kill you. People die of high blood pressure doing ministry. People die, they are just cut off because they are not empowered. One of the most treacherous grounds you will find on earth is the ministry ground. And one of the grounds prone to the greatest warfare is ministry. Because every time ministry advances, devils are displaced. And so they will hate you with passion. The only reason you will keep advancing, their presence notwithstanding, is that you are empowered. Even Jesus needed empowerment. He waited for 30 years until Matthew 3:17, the Holy Ghost descended upon him and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Ghost, Matthew 4:1, drove him to the wilderness. There he was tempted. Matthew 4:14 and 15, he returned in the power of the Spirit and he said, "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light." Luke 4:14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. If you don't return in the power of the Spirit, you cannot excel in ministry. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He didn't say, "I am born of God, I am God." You must be empowered. Ministry demands empowerment. And so, you must know what God has given to you and consecrate to it until he speaks. That is what will make the difference. When the Bible spoke about the disciples of Jesus, it said many signs and wonders were done by the hands of the apostles. Acts chapter 5 verse 12. Many signs and wonders. They were not talkers. They were men full of power. And so you need divine empowerment in order to succeed in ministry. Number three, you need to have divinely given strategies. There is a wisdom dimension of ministry. You can't do what others are doing and succeed. What they are doing is a strategy given to them by God. And there are many things that inform that strategy. The nature of encounter they have, the nature of territory God sent them to, the type of people God wants them to affect. All of that is what informs the strategy they apply. So it's good to be inspired by people. It's good to learn principles from people. But over and above that, you must have your own strategy that God has given to you. And this is why we wait upon the Lord, so that we can see and know what to do. Most people don't wait on God. I was in a conference last week, and Pastor Bolaji Idowu was preaching. And he was talking to us about the strategy for growth. And he spoke about two strategies. Number one, he said planting. And then number two, he said watering. He said planting is what you don't see. Watering is the one you see. The problem many people have is that they copy watering and they have not planted anything. So you look at a man doing prophetic ministry. He comes for service. Praise and worship starts. When the atmosphere is charged, he begins to prophesy. You too go and say, do praise and worship, and then I'll prophesy. Meanwhile, what you don't know is that 6 months before they started the ministry, he trekked around the city and prayed in tongues every night. That one is the planting one. You don't see that. So the praise and worship came from a foundation. It was God that gave him the strategy. Before you start, walk around the city so that you can possess the land. You have not possessed the land. You are doing the one that is seen. That is why many are struggling in ministry. And so everybody must wait on God until a divine strategy is given to him. And some of you here may not be called into fivefold ministry. This thing applies even to business. Somebody can be selling pure water and succeeding. There is a strategy. You must hear from God to be able to succeed in what you are doing. Because see, every realm have gatekeepers. It is only those who fail that lack that understanding. If you are operating in the realm of money, the day you enter millions, you will see that there will be an impact on your character. The day you enter 1 million, you will see that you start having dreams that you didn't have before. Because they will check you. That is the level of empowerment. And the day you touch 1 billion, you will see the impact. Because those things are realms. And every realm has gatekeepers. If God does not give you strategy, you will not be invincible. You will discover that every promotion will make you a casualty. This is why before you do ministry or anything that is worthwhile, you must have a divine strategy. That strategy is your shield. That is what will preserve you. John came baptizing because he said, the one that sent me to baptize. I didn't come baptizing because I was creative. I came baptizing because I was sent to baptize. He said, the one that sent me to baptize. When Moses was going to Egypt, God told him, when you get to Egypt, go and meet the elders. Tell them, I am that I am, have sent you. And he said, your brother Aaron is coming to meet you. Let him be your spokesman. You don't talk, let Aaron talk. So there was a strategy. When you get to Pharaoh, drop this rod on the ground. It will become a serpent. And he experimented it in God's presence. So everything he was doing was revealed to him. Even Jesus speaking said, the works that I do is what I see my Father do that I do. This is where consecration becomes important in ministry. Because if you are not consecrated to God, you will see nothing. And if you have not seen anything, you will not have a strategy. See, many people are confused. Forget the bold declaration on the altar. Underneath it is uncertainty and great confusion. And this is why many have no impact in their generation. Please, spend every time required to get your strategy. It is not when you start that matters. It's how you start that matters. If it will take you 10 years to isolate a divine strategy, wait for 10 years. Speed is a normal thing with God. God can decide to give you a speed in 3 months. It will cover the mileage that somebody has covered in 10 years. This is why you shouldn't be anxious that, oh, my friends have gone ahead of me. Some of your friends are in the grave. They are also ahead of you in eternity. Join them there. Hey, said, oh, see all my friends, they are doing this. Do you have a strategy? You must finish strong. And the guarantee to finish strong is that you are doing what you are commanded. This is why you need strategies. Please, don't let pressure make you jump out without a formula from God. You will fail. Every impactful ministry runs on divine strategies. And it is God alone that has the wisdom to formulate it. And then number four, you must have your location. Things don't work everywhere. Things work in specific places. God will tell you where to start. Even if what you are doing is global, there must be a point of reference. In Acts 1:8, it says, from Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost part of the world. Even if your vision is global, it doesn't mean you can just start anywhere. You must allow God to tell you where to start. Because location is strategic in success equation. There are certain people here that have great potentials, but they started in the wrong place. They don't have the energy to contend with the territorial battles. And because they started there, the vision was swallowed up. This is why you must allow God to tell you what to do. That everybody is going to London does not mean your success is in London. We are not wanderers, we are sons. I was preaching to my people. I say, everybody, greener pasture, we are not cows. We are not cows. We are spiritual men. The last man who went because of greener pasture escaped with two of his daughters. And he ended up with a curse. His name is Lot. He looked at the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was green. And he rushed there. He didn't know that few years later, Sodom would be burnt off. And when Sodom was destroyed, his wife became a pillar of salt. He escaped with two of his daughters. At the end of the day, his daughters connived to sleep with him and raised two rebellious generations, Moab and Ammon, because he was looking at greener pasture. Listen, it's good to look for the territory of least resistance, but it is better to find where God is pointing. And God can tell you, go to Egypt. God can tell you, don't go to Egypt. When Jesus was a child, take the child and escape to Egypt. How can God tell somebody to go to Egypt? Egypt is a type of the world. But for that season, that is the best location. And then there was another man who was going to Egypt because everybody was going there to succeed. He said, no, stay still in Gera. In this land, I will bless you. And the man stayed in Gera, and in that same year, he reaped a 100-fold harvest. And the people began to envy him because he was bigger than them. The Bible said Isaac became great. And he worked strong until the Philistines envied him. And the king came to him and said, you are bigger than us. A man became a nation because God told him, stay here. The dog wells, they didn't get water. When Isaac dig, he will find water. Because when God gives you your location meets you there. The well Isaac dug, they collected from him. He relocated to another place. The one they collected dried up. He dug another one. Water came out. So what was coming out there was not water. It was the Holy Ghost. It was a spring of eternal life. Listen, don't make the mistake. We don't live life twice. That is why we must be accurate the first time. And for you to be accurate, the one that knows tomorrow must direct you. And if he's directing you, he will tell you your location. He said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh. Let my people go that they may worship me. And he told him, your destination is a land called the promised land, Canaan. So they knew where they were going. Even though they were in the wilderness for 40 years, they didn't change their mind. God has given us a location. It is when you find that location that you will find rest. Please ensure that you know your location. God has a place for everyone. God has a place for everyone. Number five. Wait until you are commissioned. In Mark 3:14, the Bible says he called them to be with him so that he might send them. Some are called, they are not yet sent. There's a difference between calling and sending. If you are called, your job is to stay with him until you are sent. If you are not sent, you will suffer lack. Jesus said to the disciples, when I sent you without scribe, nor sandals, nor purse, lackest thou anything? They said nothing. The man who is called may lack. It's the one who is sent that has guarantee. So when God calls you, stay with him. Don't move out of creativity. In matters of ordination, creativity is not allowed. Only obedience is allowed. And so you must wait for the master to send and to commission you. And the apostles waited. He died, they still waited. Until he resurrected and he told them, now go into all the world. It was when they were sent and commissioned that they went and nothing could defy them. By all means, stay with God until God commissions you. See, need may want to commission you. Pressure may want to commission you. Necessity may want to commission you. But don't allow all of that deceive you to step out until the great one commissions you. Because if you are not sent, you are endangered. If you send yourself, you will pay the price for the journey. But if God sends you, he will take care of the bills. This is why many people excel even in the midst of warfare. Because the one who sent them is faithful. He will pay the price. Are you learning something already? These are five basic requirements for a genuine call. Now that I have said this, let me zero in to empowerment. Because that's my message this morning. So I'm picking the second point to deal with this morning. Because we are going to really, really require empowerment in ministry. And there are five dimensions of empowerment that I want to speak about this morning very quickly. Number one is spiritual empowerment. Everyone needs spiritual empowerment. There is no gainsaying about it. If you are not spiritually empowered, you will fail in every other front. Number two is empowerment of wisdom. For you to succeed in life and ministry, you need wisdom-based empowerment. I'm telling you, the Bible said the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because they know not how to enter the city. The difference in your life is not made by hard work. It's made by wise work. If you have no wisdom, you will fail. That you are sweating does not mean you are making progress. Those who labor the most sometimes are the ones who make the least progress. If you think I'm lying, go to a building site. Look at the difference between the hired mercenaries or laborers versus the architect and the site engineer. You will know the difference. There is a wise way to labor and there's a foolish way to labor. If you don't go through the path of wisdom, you will be forced to go through the path of foolishness. And you will labor so hard, yet not succeed as much. You know the guy who is the laborer, if he had sufficient fund, or if he had wisdom, because some of them, opportunity didn't allow them, so they had nobody to train them. You understand that. But there are others that were sent to school, and they left school for marijuana. They left school for clubs. And then 20 years down the line, their fathers are no longer with them. So they have no choice but to carry bags of cement on their head to succeed. They had talent. They didn't cultivate the talent. When others were cultivating their talent, they were busy wasting away in alcoholic bars. Now they need money for basic necessities. They can only find laboring job in order to get on with life. That is why they are where they are. But there were wise ones who took advantage of education or took advantage of their talent, sharpened it. And now, from rest, they are making great impact. So what makes the difference is not hard work, it's wisdom. All of us will work hard, but which route are we going to take? If you take the route of wisdom, you will become impactful in your generation. This is why you need wisdom-based empowerment if you will succeed in life and ministry. Number three, you need financial empowerment. The Bible says, money answereth all things. There are certain things that no matter how you pray, if you don't have money, you are in trouble. He said, cry out loud. Zechariah 1:17, my cities to prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. So it's not only prayer that advances kingdom. Money advances kingdom. Deuteronomy 8:18, he said, thou shalt remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth, that you might establish his covenant, which he made with thy fathers unto this day. So the covenant is not only established by prayer. It is also established by finances. This is why you need finances in order to succeed. Listen, some of the ministers you are hearing, you are celebrating, they are even unspoken. They say, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. So speaking is a product of faith. taking steps in the right direction is not just a product of wisdom, it's also the product of faith. There are many people seated here now who knew 5 years ago what they should be doing, but they've not started. Because that push is not there. It takes faith, rugged faith, to take some steps. When God told us to do an apostolic invasion in the UK, I said, no, sir. Naira is not even equivalent to pounds. Apart from the fact that I'm going to spend hundreds of thousands, at least the currency should have been equivalent before we dare it. Why not send us to Mozambique? There are countries where Naira has more strength. Let's start from there. You see, this is our first conference, though. We have not even held any conference in Abuja. We have not held any conference in Africa. You say we should go to London. When they sent me the bill, the most reasonable bill that came out is £100,000. That's the most reasonable. How do we go about it? And the ministry is 1 year old. We are not 10 years old. We are not 15 years old. We are not 20 years old. I went to the place of prayer and I saw myself entering London. I said, that is it. It is time. And we began from nowhere. At the end of the day, the conference was done and dusted. And God took the glory. If there was no faith, we would not have taken steps. How the money came, I don't know. But the conference was done. Because when you move, then you see the finger of God. If you don't move, you will not see the hand of God. Many people are still in one spot because they've not moved. God told you to start a company. And you told yourself, I don't even know what CAC needs. How will I start the company? And God is telling you, this will be the biggest company in Lagos. 5 years has gone. You have not taken any step. If you are commissioned and you don't have faith, you will not move. This is why we need faith-based empowerment. And I will show you what to do for your faith to come alive so that you are able to take those steps and make the necessary impact in your generation. Finally, you have love-based empowerment. Anything you do that does not have love does not profit you. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, it says, although I give my goods to the poor, although I give my body to be burnt, it says, if I have not love, it profited me nothing. So what makes your impact profitable is when it is built in love. In fact, if you don't love God and love people, what you are doing is impression, it's not impact. What makes your engagement impactful is the fact that it is coded with love, both for God and for humanity. Many are doing many things just to show that they are important, just to show that they are present, just to show that they have arrived. There is no reward in eternity. Anything you do that is not built on love does not have impact and will not translate to any meaning to you. These are 5 basic empowerments that you require in order to make progress in life. Let's touch the first, spiritual empowerment. What is spiritual empowerment? Spiritual empowerment is the ability of God walking through a man. It's divinity expressed through humanity. Jesus was speaking and he said, it is the spirit that quickens. John 6:63. He said, the flesh profited nothing. In the realm of God, man has been weighed, and the spirits have concluded already that man does not have any profit in himself. And so, if a man must make impact that God will validate, then God himself must empower him. This is why spiritual empowerment becomes important. One of the things that surprised me as a young minister, pushing for God, is the fact that I realized everything you do with your natural ability irritates God. Because when you do things with your natural ability, you take the glory for it. And God, the program is designed such that only God can take the glory. So the Bible calls us earthen vessel. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency might be of God and not of man. And I discovered it is difficult to be accurate except as God is the one empowering you. Anything you do by the energy of the flesh, not too long, pride will enter. I am an orator. So when I talk, people are moved. And before you know what is happening, you become proud that you have oratorial power. And that your oratory becomes an irritation in the realm of God. This is why you may be an orator and you may not have the ability to speak. It doesn't matter with God. He's the one that created the mouth. Every time you want to speak, the Holy Ghost must inspire you. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, he said, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, he said, holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Spirit of God. So men who speak for God are empowered by God. He said, when they call you to speak, don't think of what to say. Open your mouth, I will fill it with words. This is not saying you should not labor in the place of study. The Bible already says study to show yourself approved. But what God is saying is that never stand to represent me on the strength of your natural abilities. I am the one to breed on your natural abilities and make it relevant. But if you anchor your confidence on your natural abilities, you have lost it. So anybody who wants to be impactful in the realms of God must be empowered by God. This is why God himself gives us many channels of spiritual empowerment, because he knows we will need it. And so if you find a man who is genuinely empowered by God, there are consecrations that power it. There are mantles that power it. There are graces that power it. You can't find a man who is genuinely empowered who cannot trace his empowerment to a consecration. You can't find a man who is genuinely empowered who cannot trace his empowerment to a mantle. You can't find a man who is genuinely empowered who cannot trace his empowerment to a dimension of grace at work in his life. If he doesn't have those foundations, that thing came from another spirit. Or that thing is flesh. So spiritual empowerment is not something you stumble on. It's something you walk deliberately. There must be a consecration that power it. There must be a grace that power it. And there must be a mantle that power it. You can't have spiritual empowerment without at least three of these things at work in your life. What is the consecration that defines you? You say God wants to empower you. There must be a consecration. What are the graces that you have picked up on account of your understanding of the person of Christ and the gospel? What are the mantles you have received on account of your encounters with God? These are the things that changes things. And see, our generation lacks genuine spiritual empowerment. This is why there is so much manipulation and theatrics. Because the empowerment is not there. Many times you see people come to speak for God, and by hearing the message alone, you just know this is psychology. Because the message is built around creating impressions about them. They build a momentum around themselves. From their approach, they want to intimidate you. The man is coming like a demigod to make you feel that, oh, the apostle has arrived. All of that is psychology. And at the end of the day, you can't see genuine impact. The drunkard remains a drunkard. The cancer patient remains a cancer patient. The deaf person remains deaf. The blind person remains blind. And when we can't see anything happening, then we shake everywhere. 3-5 people fall down. We say that is power. Even Michael Jackson shows up and people fall down. I'm not despising the place of the slain anointing. But if that is all we have, then we are joking. Because the problem people have is beyond falling down. People have existential problems. If a blind man falls down and stands up and is blind, you have not helped him. If a deaf man stands up, falls down, stands up deaf, you have not helped him. If a drunkard falls down, stand up, remain a drunkard, you have not helped him. But for us to have something that goes beyond the emotional realm, our empowerment must be built on consecration. Go and look at the fathers. The Bible spoke about Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 4, from verse 4 to verse 8, God told him, he said, lie down on your right side and intercede for Israel. You know how many days the man lay down there? 390 days praying for Israel. How can that man speak and the foundation of Israel will not shake? When he finished, God told him, turn to your left side and lie down for 40 days and intercede for Judah. And the man lay down there. So one man was interceding for a nation for 430 days. That's a man that has a stature to speak over that nation. Talking and addressing a nation does not come to you because you have a social media platform. That you have 10,000 people following you on Facebook does not mean you have the credential to talk to a nation. Today, everybody stands up and says they are addressing the body of Christ. Do you know what the body of Christ is? Go and check the Bible. Find out those who have the capacity to address the body of Christ. You will understand what it takes. It takes consecrations an enthronement by God to address the body of Christ and to address the nation. You don't have any consecration. You're on YouTube, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on Instagram from morning till night. You want to go to the altar. You'll say, ha ba 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 for 10 minutes. And when you come, because you have three people following you online, you say, you are talking to the body of Christ. Are we not jokers? Facebook will not give you the power to address the body of Christ. It is authority in the spirit that will give you power to address the body of Christ. Look at the days of people like John the Baptist. They didn't have media. The guy was not even in the city. The Bible said he was at the backside of the wilderness. But when he spoke from there, how the people get to hear and obey, only God knows. I'm not talking down on media. I use media. But I'm saying, at best, media can create amplification and publicity. Authority comes from consecration. What is the weight of your consecration? That's why I love what Pastor Poju said a moment ago. He said, people you don't intercede for, you cannot save. And that's the problem we have. We don't have consecration for the kind of power we want to make the body of Christ think we have. And so a man comes, he's talking about lofty things. But when you look around the people listening, you cannot trace the manifestations of those things. It's because consecration is lacking. I read about Moses. At the age of 80, Moses climbed Sinai just to encounter God. A man of 80 years old was climbing the mountains of Sinai. And when he climbed the mountain, God didn't show up. He still sat there praying for 6 days before God appeared and began to give him instructions about Israel. You don't have hunger enough to build a consecration. You are talking about empowerment. It doesn't come like that. Look at people like Elijah. Before and after requires consecration. The Bible says Elijah is a man subject to like passion, just as we are. He prayed earnestly that there should be no rain, and there was no rain for a period of 3.5 years. And when he wanted rain to come, the Bible said he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. See, this generation of orators trying to create impression cannot bring revival. And we have learned the packaging. So, somebody wants to associate with somebody in order to be perceived as a big man. Somebody wants to appear in a certain way in order to be perceived. You don't need to prove any point. If that power comes, it will show. The testimonies will prove it. The transformation in the lives of those who hear you will prove it. Today, people listen to our apostles and they are sleeping and they are having sex while they are listening to the apostle preaching. To let you know that the best thing there is oratory. People listen to men of God and God does not rise on their inside. How can somebody listen to 3 of your messages and he has not started praying and fasting? How can somebody listen to 3 of your messages, he has not repented? How can somebody listen to 3 of your messages and nothing has shifted in his life? You are a talker. Please, stop that lecture and go back to the mountain. You need some consecration. These are the things that brings about spiritual empowerment. And if I may, there are 4 basic consecrations for any man who wants to be empowered. Number 1 is prayer. Number 2 is fasting. Number 3 is study of the word. And number 4 is generous giving. If you will have genuine spiritual power, this is not something you do once in a while. This must be your lifestyle. The Bible said concerning Jesus, Mark 1:35, early in the morning, in the cool of the day, he went to a solitary place. There he prayed. That was his routine. You will catch him there. You know, they knew Jesus was always going there to pray. It was his lifestyle. There were times when Jesus had to pray all night alone, not because church organized VG. That's what it takes to have enough power to make impact in your generation. Look at Paul speaking. He said, in fasting, often. In fasting. Fasting was his lifestyle. Often. Our ministers today, we eat the best of meals. The very best. In fact, we have meal timetables. A pastor. And when you ask him, you say, no, health is wealth. You need to protect this body before it leaves. Because if your body is gone, you lack ticket to survive here. I'm not against it. Exercise, rest, eat well. But make sure fasting is part of your program. I listened to Bishop David Oedeko. He said, as a ministry, they fast worldwide once in a week. And he fasts on his own twice every week. And he has not stopped because he's getting old. Has he died? You see young men in their 20s, what we are looking for is honorarium and the quality of cars that take us for meeting. And when you talk, we preach honor until we deify honor. Honor has become a weapon just to manipulate people and coerce them into fear and subjection to us. And we have not paid the price that the fathers paid. If your name was to be used, if the Bible was to be edited, and they were to include you inside, what would they write? Imagine if they want to write, God said they should add 10 books of the Bible, and they give you the honor of being picked. You will pray that you shouldn't be used. Because what will be written will show us what men shouldn't do. It says, woe unto you, O city, if your prince is a child, and eats in the morning for pleasure and not for strength. If you use some of us here for Bible chapter, not even book, only the number of times you fall in 1 month will be enough for all the fall from Genesis to Revelation. Because the gospel we have now is God has forgiven you all your sins. So they've given us ticket to sin. First of the month, you fell into fornication. Second, you compromised in your office. On the third of the month, you were part of a bribery and corruption issue. On the seventh, you fell into fornication again. Sixth, eighth, and ninth, you prayed for forgiveness. On the tenth, you had another temptation, you fell. Augusta, something is wrong with your consecration. Even David that fell didn't fall every day. The Bible read that he fell once and he didn't fall again. People fall into buckets of water in our generation. Buckets drown people. Buckets. They are drowned. They, this temptation is too much. It's because your spirit is light. The spirit man is weak. And the Bible says, if you fail in the day of trials, it means your strength is little. Our strength is small. That's why there's no empowerment. The fathers of old, they prayed and fasted as a lifestyle. Why do you think we have prayer mountains today? It's because they don't pray once in a while. You know where to meet them. 40 days fasting was a normal thing. This was what they do once every 3 months to stay healthy in the spirit. But we, if you check our fasting profile, we fasted on the... That's why church even have to do it every January. Because if church does not include it in a whole year, some people will not fast. And when they stand, they are saying, Lord, use me. I want to change my generation. I want to make impact. The question is how? Where's the consecration? When you push in your consecration, you will now begin to have encounters. And one of the things encounters will do for you is that encounters will expose you to mantles. Because mantles are actually specific dimensions of empowerment to operate certain order of manifestations in God. That is the goal of some of these mantles. And the men who caught them, God drilled them until they got to that energy level where those empowerments fell on them. And when they were leaving, they didn't go with it because it didn't belong to them. God gave them the privilege of mantles being named after them, but it didn't belong to them. The first man who catches a particular mantle, that mantle is named after that man. Just as an honor that he was the first to enter that dimension. But it doesn't mean the mantle belongs to him. A mantle is a dimension of in God that facilitates specific order of manifestation. And so if you want to have that mantle, you must pattern your life after that consecration. When I was reading my Bible, I discovered every mantle had a code. For example, the mantle of Elijah, the code is to see. If you see me as I'm taking, you have it. So anybody who have authority to challenge government must have the ability to see dimensions in the spirit. If you can't see it, you can't have it. Even if it's lying in your bedroom, if you like, go and buy a shovel from Israel and put it on your neck when you are prophesying. That is what do you call it now? It's dress code. It is not a mantle. This is dress code. A mantle is a spiritual garment. If you don't see, you can't have. I see many young ladies today, they are praying, mantle of Deborah. Do you know who Deborah was? Mantle of Esther. You know who Esther was? You are 23 years old, you have done 3 abortions, and you are talking Esther. The mantle of Esther responds to chastity. If you are not pure, you can't carry that mantle. It's the mantle of the virgins. It's a mantle of the virgins. So you must pay the price to keep your purity. Many times, men will come to you, you will have the fortitude to say no for that type of empowerment to rest on you. See, spiritual things are not cheap. They are entrustments. So there are prices you pay in consecration to walk in them. It is available because of the finished works of Christ, but you must pay the price of consecration to qualify for it. This is why the Bible said the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, although he's the Lord of all. That means the work of Jesus has given you the status of Lord, but it's your maturity that will have you entrusted with those powers. But our generation lack consecration in the place of prayer, in the place of fasting, in the place of study. Call Christians today, ask three topics and tell them to give you Bible verses to represent it. They don't know it. People say they are 30. They must get married. Why are they not married? Oh Lord, where are you? You ask them. Give me three scriptures that define the purpose of marriage. They don't know. And they want to kill God. Oh Lord, why am I poor? Oh God, where are you? Where is your favor? What did God say about wealth? What's the purpose of wealth? What is the biblical definition of the purpose of wealth? Give two scriptures. They don't know. Because you can't be approved with God unless you study. It's a study to show yourself approved. So you have no right to query God when you don't know what he said about something. This is why you sit in the word of God until you have it. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it said this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, to see that you do what is written therein. He now said, then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. So it's not God that gives you success. It's not God that makes your way prosperous. You make your way prosperous by the quality of your interaction with what God has said. Everything God said has already secured your future. Everything you do with what God said is what will determine the future you will have. This is why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. The question is, how many do you know? A generation that is arguing Messi and Ronaldo for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, is the same generation that want to advance God's kingdom. Is it not a joke? Is that how it was done in the days of Scripture? In the land of Israel, before you are called a man, you must be able to recite the Torah. You know what that is? Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. You will recite it all before you qualify to be vested with the honor. And then for you to become a rabbi, you must add the Tanakh, the writings of the prophets. They don't joke with these things because they know that the spiritual controls the natural. And when you come to us here, we think we are so educated. And our idea of education is that the spirit realm is not necessary. If the spirit realm is not necessary, why are many leaders of nations going to be initiated into the occult? Why are many presidents of nations going to consort with ritualists, sorcerers, and diviners? If you think the spirit realm is not important. Have you read in the Bible and heard of any king, who didn't have a relationship with the spirit? Have you heard of anyone, either with God or sorcerers? You now came over 2 million years after civilization, and you think you are wise. Your life has no impact in the spirit realm, and you want to change your world? It's a joke. Sir, spiritual empowerment is an entrustment. And it rides on the frequency of consecration. Every one of us can be empowered. The reason we are not manifesting it is because we have no consecration to power it. Consecrations are like the foundations upon which spiritual power rests. If you don't have a consecration, even if that power comes, it will kill you. It can't stay. So it will lift. However, if you don't have it, your life will be a frustration. Your life will be a frustration. Because this realm, there are spirits. This realm, there are laws. This realm, there are principles. And the principles all insist that your consecration is what determines the outcome of your life. Even those who succeed, and it looks as if they don't have a consecration, check the patterns of their lives. Many people have been cut off in their prime. Cut off. When they should rest, they are cut off. And they don't know what happened. You can't explain it. At best, we will all weep to let you know the veracity of the place of spirit's involvement in your life. Whether you know it or not, they're there. But if you know it and engage the principles, it becomes to your advantage. The first type of empowerment you must have is spiritual empowerment. Listen, at every point in your life, there are three things you must be able to define. Number one, your consecration. Number two, the graces that you manifest. And number three, the kind of encounters you've had or the mantles that manifest through your life. If at any point of your life you can't define these things, know that you don't have empowerment. Please, don't make the mistake of living life based on luck and chance. Lord, if it's your will, manifest. That's the prayer for babes. Oh Lord, my life is in your hand. Do what you will. It's a joke. People don't. If our life is in God's hands, then He's doing a bad work. Go to the hospital and see the number of sick people there. You think if God is in absolute control of our life will turn out like that? Look at the number of people who are poor. You think if our life is in God's hands, that number of people will be poor? When God gave us a will, He shared the responsibility with us. And He has played His part. The reason we are not manifesting is because we are not playing our part. God did not create robots. He has sovereign authority, but He gave you a will so that you and Him will share the responsibility. In that way, you will now grow. So when you are sick, it's not because God is not able to keep you healthy, but you fail to play your part. When you are poor, it's not because God is not able to empower you to be rich. It's because you refuse to pay your part. If you are a failure, it's not because God is not succeeding or improving men's life. It's because you have failed to play your part. So, you carry on people in the world. When will your turn come? Everybody making impact is making it deliberately. And the first type of empowerment is the empowerment of the Spirit. Spiritual empowerment. It runs on the frequency of consecration. It runs on the frequency of graces. And it runs on the frequency of mantles. You must at all times be able to define each in your life. If it is there, even when you have no feeling, you will make impact. You know what I didn't know in my earlier days? I felt power is a function of how you feel. So anytime I'm feeling intense, my faith comes alive. And I can make declarations and things happen. But when the responsibility of my life began to increase, I discovered we work by faith, not by feelings. Because feelings fluctuate. The things that your power resonates on is not your feeling. It's your consecration. It's your graces and it's your mantles. So you must define them and you must cooperate with them in order to walk in power. You can wake up from sleep and create change. You can be in a miracle service and create change. You can be in the market and create change. So long as these three things are intact, you are full of power. If they are not intact, whether you are feeling powerful, you will not be in power. Have you not felt before that when you talk, the dead will rise, and you spoke and they remain dead? Have you not felt before that when you speak, the sick will be healed? You spoke, they were not sick. Emotions are deceptive. The things that cannot lie are your consecrations. They are your graces. And they are your mantles. So by all means, service them if you will remain powerful, making impact in your generation. The second type of power is the empowerment of wisdom. The Bible said in Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Project it. I want us to see the scriptures. True wisdom is an house builded. It says, by understanding, that house is established. And in verse 4, it says, through knowledge, all the chambers are filled with good things. So, nobody who is excelling by chance. There is a wisdom component sponsoring it. If your house is not established, it means there's no wisdom. If your house is not built up, it means there's no wisdom. If your house is not filled with every good thing, it means there's no knowledge. And so, what you must pursue is to pursue these things. That is why it said, pursue after wisdom. By all means, buy the truth, sell it not. Pursue after these things. Pursue it. And the good news this morning is that anybody can become wise. Because there are parameters of scripture that sponsors wisdom. Number one parameter that sponsors wisdom is the fear of the Lord. If you want to become wise, begin to exalt holy things. Do you know what God, the devil is sponsoring in our generation now? To trivialize holy things. So you find comedians, they are doing show, and they are joking with sacred things. And Christians sit there, and they are laughing. Ha, 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 ha. That is why the generation is becoming foolish. People sit on the internet and they are speaking down on holy things. And you see Christians nodding. Yes, this one you said is right. We lack wisdom. If we don't exalt sacred things and demonstrate fear for God, we will be foolish in our world. Psalm 14 verse 1 said, the fool says in his heart, there's no God. No matter how reasonable somebody is talking, if he says anything that undermines your God, if he says anything that undermines what you believe, forget him and what he's saying. It is sponsored by the devil. A man cannot be wise talking against God. A man cannot be wise talking against sacred things. Don't be part of it, because the foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The Bible said in Proverbs 9 verse 10, it said, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. The more you know about God and the more you reverence God, the wiser you become. Wisdom does not begin with studying a course in Harvard. Wisdom does not begin with studying a course in Oxford. Wisdom begins by fearing God and by learning spiritual or holy things, because it will change everything about you completely. In Job 28 verse 28, it said, the fear of the Lord, this is wisdom. The knowledge of the holy, this is understanding. So there are parameters in scriptures that make men wise. Begin to exalt God and begin to understand holy things and see if you are not wise. You will go to the market and do better than those who studied business in Lagos Business School. You will go to the market to leadership. You will do better than those who studied leadership in Harvard. You will discover that your own wisdom will come from the Ancient of Days. See, anybody who is foolish by choice. The moment you begin to reverence God and give value to holy things, you will become wise. The second parameter that makes for wisdom is to ask in prayer. In James chapter 2 verse 15, he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. The third thing that makes for wisdom is humility and brokenness. Proverbs 11 verse 2. See, write these scriptures down. I'm telling you why many are foolish. And I'm telling you why many are not succeeding, because you need wisdom to succeed. Proverbs 11 verse 2. When pride comes, then shame. But with the humble is wisdom. So the moment a man takes the disposition of humility, he supernaturally begins to become wise. This is wisdom. The third thing that makes for wisdom is to study and apply instruction. Psalm 119, verse 98 to 100. See the way the Bible puts it. I have more understanding than my teachers, for your testimony is my meditation. When you are studying the word of God, studying the instructions of God, it's not to preach. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. You can be wiser than the ancient if you meditate on the commandments of God, because the commandments of God makes wise. But our generation lacks knowledge of the holy word of God. When you start studying the word of God, it may look grievous. After 3 years, you will discover that you will make decisions wiser than the oldest people among you. And I'm not saying undermine those who are ancient, because there is also a type of wisdom that the ancient possesses. Job 15 verse 22, Job 12 verse 12, and Proverbs 15 22. The Bible makes it clear that with the ancient is wisdom. So there is a wisdom that comes at old age. But I don't want to grow old to be wise, because I make all the decisions of my life when I'm young. What will it profit me when I become wise at 70 or at 80 when my life is finished? So I appreciate that wisdom because it will help me to bless a generation. But I want to be wise when I'm young. This is why I will fear God. This is why I will stay humble. This is why I will study instructions and apply it. And the level of impact your life can command is a function of the empowerment that wisdom brings. And everybody here in this auditorium can become wise. And if you need wisdom as a type of empowerment, then you cannot joke with it. Praise God. Are you learning something? Is this thing making sense to you? See, I can preach things, but these are precepts that you need to have in your life. See, every week, ask God, make me wiser. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask. Every week, every day, sit down, read a verse of scripture. instructions make you wiser. Read it. You may not be enjoying it, be reading it. Your spirit is interacting with it. After a while, you will see the accumulation of wisdom that your life will command. Become deliberate about reverencing God. Don't come to God's presence and be operating your phone or doing business transactions. When you come, pay attention. Any instruction God gives, obey it. Act foolish in your obedience to God and see how God makes you wise when you confront life outside God. We have a problem. This is why we are not making impact. Because the things God has created for our advantage, we are not taking advantage of it. I will stop here this morning. I would have spoken about financial empowerment, but this is Lagos. You are rich. So use your money for God. Give the Lord a big hand.
Is that part of the move of the Spirit?
Exodus 28 verse 2. Okay. It says, make garments unto Aaron for beauty and for glory.
Glory! Alright, thank you so very much for that. And I'm just going to begin by asking a couple of questions from some of the things that you have said and from some of the questions that we will yet get. Okay, so you talked about tarrying, and yes, of course, you mentioned prayers and some other things, right? Okay, so we have the link on the screen, so you could either scan the barcode or go to Slido, slido.com, and then put in the hashtag, and you'll be able to ask your questions. So you talked about prayers and all that. What are some of the other ways that you want to talk to in terms of speaking to this generation? Of course, we have some other elderly people, but what are some of the other ways to tarry to get this blueprint, to get this divine instruction from God?
Glory to God. There are many ways of tarrying. Of course, prayer is one of it. You can also tarry in the place of study. You can gather materials in a particular sphere of knowledge that you feel you have deficiency and just read through. Paul speaking in 1 Timothy 4:13, he said, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He said, give thyself wholly to these things, that your profiting may be made manifest to all. Sometimes we are not praying, we are just reading. Because as you read, it has a mental effect and it has a spiritual impact. When you read, the thoughts of God enters your spirit and energizes you. And then when you also read, the mind of God, the wisdom of God stretches your own understanding so that you become better upgraded for your destiny. So reading is one way of tarrying. Another way of tarrying is by worshiping. So you can be in your closet all day and you are just singing and worshiping God. If you don't know too many songs, you can play songs of anointed minstrels, and while they are worshiping, you are worshiping along, and you discover that your spirit becomes supercharged. You can also tarry by staying quiet in God's presence. There are times when we just go lie down in God's presence and we are just focusing our minds on God, focusing our emotions on God, and we are just quiet there. In Habakkuk 2 verse 1, he said, I will stand on my watch and see to see to and wait to see what he will say to me. And he said, write the vision. So he was just there waiting for God to speak. He wasn't talking. He was waiting. So you can stay with God quietly. You know, it is youthfulness sometimes that makes us feel anytime we are tarrying, we must be speaking in tongues and not pause and not breathe. You know, as a younger Christian, sometimes you feel if you're even speaking in tongues and you pause and breathe, you will break the frequency of God. So it's no. Sometimes that itself becomes a distraction. There are times when you are just in God's presence for over 4 hours. You can say one word, thank you, Father. And you are just there. And you find the weight of glory descending on you. So there are many ways to tarry. You can tarry by staying with the saints. You can come to a gathering where believers are just there and they are talking. And as they are talking, the witness of God is overlapping. And you discover a lot will happen. The Bible said in Malachi 3, I think verse 16 and 17, it said, they that feared the Lord, they spake one to another. A book of remembrance was written for them. So we can gather together and we are just talking about spiritual things. You may not even be participating. But as you are hearing people talk, like Pastor Kojo and Pastor Femi were talking here, you see that your spirit man was gaining some level of charge. That's also a type of tarrying.
Amen. Thank you very much. We need to run because of time. This question says, how do you overcome laziness or fear of weight of one's mandate?
Great. That's also very important. Usually when the spirit of heaviness comes upon you, what we will call laziness, it will be very difficult for you to bring yourself out of it. So the first thing to do is to be helped. If I'm lying on the floor, it will be easier for somebody to pull me up than for me to stand up. I'll spend more energy to stand than for someone to pull me up. So if you see that you have become lazy and heavy, the first thing to do is to seek kindling and recharge from somebody else who is burning. And so you can attend a revival conference. You can listen to a sermon. Just make sure you open your spirit to people who are already standing and burning. And what will happen is that their charge will contact you and charge you up. That's the first way to go. And then the second thing to go to do is to talk to God. The Holy Spirit is your helper. The Bible said he will send you another comforter of the same kind. One of the synonyms for the word comforter is helper. Another one is standby. Another one is strengthener. So when you are weak, you can tell the Holy Ghost, I am weak. Please strengthen me. Please help me. As you begin to ask the Holy Ghost, you'll see that the Holy Ghost can literally energize you, or he will create channels for you to be energized. So these are two simple, basic ways of coming out of it. And then the last one I will add is, get a mentor. Get a coach. I wanted to start gymming because I felt my physique, my strength, my energy was low physically. I bought a bicycle, static bicycle in the house. I bought a treadmill. I used it the first time they mounted it. And I didn't climb that thing again for 3 months. In fact, the treadmill was in my bedroom. But I wake up, look at it. I never used it. Until I had to get a coach. So the coach comes to the house in the morning, 8 o'clock. Sir, let's move. Sometimes I rush. I was praying. I would go and quickly wear my gym wear. And he would drag me to the gym. And he kept taking me through that routine. After a while, I noticed that I wore my suit and he stood in a certain way. I said, something is happening. That was the first time I became consistent in exercise and gymming for 3 weeks. Because a coach came. You know, although sometimes it comes, I leave him a message that today can't work. But he will come back the next day and still encourage me. So get a mentor, get a coach. They will help you to push up and you overcome it.
Thank you very much. So a question says, a question says, what do I do when I have a call of God and I've fallen into the sin of fornication?
Yes. The sin of fornication is a very serious sin, and I tell you why. Because it's a law that works on your inside. If you read the book of Romans, chapter 7 and chapter 8, you'll find 3 laws mentioned there. The first law is called the law of the mind, or the law of God. And Paul said that law is what pushes you to want to please God. But it said there is another law called the law of the members, or the law of your body, or the law of sin and death. He said that law negates the law of the mind or the law of God. But in chapter 8, verse 2, he now introduced a third law. He said the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That's the law that destroys the law of sin and death, so that the law of the mind can work. When a man falls into sin, like the sin of fornication, he may think he didn't choose well. He may think it's a weakness. What he doesn't know is that it's a law at work. The first thing that you must do is to ask the Holy Spirit to activate the law of life that is in Christ Jesus. And the way the Holy Ghost activates it is in Romans 8, 5 and 6. He makes you to become spiritually minded. Because it's spiritual mindedness that activates that law. This is where the Holy Ghost will begin to give you encounters or expose you to ministers that carry the word of truth. And the more they build spiritual mindedness, the more you see that the law of life is strong on your inside. That law is where you get your first victory. So if you fall to sin, what you need is the activation of the law of life, the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Number two, you need to have an accountability structure so that you don't deceive yourself. Sometimes people call me from Mina, from Ibadan, and say, oh, I fornicated. Please, sir, what do I do? I say, where is your pastor? Why are you calling a man who doesn't know you in Abuja to tell him? Because he doesn't want to be accountable. He just wants somebody to tell him, it's okay, the Lord forgive you. Go back and sin no more. But he will sin again. What you do is to go and tell somebody who knows you, who you respect, and who can make demand of you, and tell him, I have fallen. This is what I have done. So that person can either create a structure around your spiritual life to guide you. And then once in a while, the person will be asking you questions. What are you doing? Have you cut off that relationship? That's an accountability structure. It's the second guarantee that you will not fall again. But if you look for a pastor who doesn't know you, your life, and trace why you fell. It could be pride. It could be worldliness. It could be unnecessary desires. And it will put you in a service place that will tame that thing that is open. Tame that thing that is open. Where you find weakness, especially immorality. Don't come and say, we are not strong, so let's not see ourselves for 1 week. You will be shocked. You will chat that person again. Because what happens when you sin is that if a lady is around you or a boy is around you and every 3 months you fall into sin, go and tell that person, your life, your presence is destroying my destiny. Let him be offended and then you delete the numbers and you don't see again. Most likely, you will be delivered and you will stay delivered.
Thank you very much. All right, well, maybe we'll just take 2 more questions and, you know, we'll wrap it up. Now, a question here says that, how do you know when this grace has rested on you? In other words, you've prayed, you've charged. How do you know the grace has rested? How do you know the grace has rested?
It's something that must be handled with a lot of caution so that we don't introduce into scriptures what is not clearly defined. So I'll say something about it, but let me answer the question. The first way you know that you have caught a grace is that your appetite will change. That's how graces work. When the grace came upon Samson, the hair grew. So that's one of the ways to discern a grace. The second way to discern a grace is that in the line of service, you will see that that grace will begin to find itself. You won't know when a grace has come upon you. For those of you who are giving to soul winning, you will discover that when the grace or word of knowledge came upon your life, you didn't even know. But you are talking to somebody, and then The thing is just prompting you. You know, the prophetic word is called naidi. It's like a bubbling water. It's just prompting you. Are you feeling a pain somewhere? And then you don't know how to do it. You now just ask the question humbly. I don't know. I just feel like praying for you. Are you feeling pain? The person says, yes, I'm feeling the pain. You go to another place, you see it. You go to, when it becomes a pattern, then you know that, oh, this grace has rested upon me. So, service is the second thing that awakens the consciousness that a grace is present. And then the third thing, if I may add, is the fact that when a grace rests upon you, it puts responsibility on you in that area. When you begin to see, if the grace for healing comes upon your life, you see that you start having burden to pray for the sick. When the grace for soul winning comes upon your life, you see that you start having burden for the lost. When the grace for revival comes upon your life, you see that you start having burdens to see people walk in holiness. So graces also awaken responsibilities, because the grace is actually given to you to meet a particular responsibility. So these are three basic ways of discerning a grace. Number one is consecration activated or an appetite awoken. Number two is that you start seeing manifestation in the line of service. And number three is that responsibility starts coming. There are few people that may have direct encounters, and God can tell them, go and heal the sick. Go and do this, go and do that. But not everybody has such encounters. And you must not have such encounters to know that you have a grace. So if you want to operate in a grace, be sensitive to your appetites. Be sensitive to remain faithful in service, and also be sensitive to discern the kind of burdens and responsibilities that God is putting on your spirit, and you will see the grace manifest.
Thank you very much, sir. Final question before the final assignment, because there's someone online who says that, please have a 5-minute activation session for us. And just as we were talking, Daddy said you should end with praying for about 5 minutes. But the final question is, someone else says that, please touch on this financial empowerment. Forget that we're in Lagos. Right. A prophet once told me, said, you young people in this generation, how do you do this? Where do you get the money? Please tell us, where do you get this money?
Okay, fine. There are two laws that govern financial empowerment. The first is the universal law, and the second is the divine law. You can call it universal order, you can call it divine order, you are still correct. For anybody to be financially empowered, he must obey these two orders. In the universal order, for you to be financially empowered, there are 4 things you must do. Number one, you must produce something. So there is a wisdom for productivity. If you don't produce anything, either value or resources, you can never be financially empowered. Number two, you must have a talent or a gift that is sharpened and marketed. So if you want to be financially empowered, don't neglect your talents and gifts. Sharpen them. And don't just sharpen them. Learn to market them. You can have a sharpened gift and it's not marketed. You will still be poor. So you must have the intelligence to market your giftings. You look around you. See our comedians today. They just make people laugh. But they are billionaires. Because they've sharpened their giftings. Number three, you must learn investment. If you eat everything you have, you will be poor. Only a poor man lives to eat. A man who is interested in financial empowerment learns to multiply his resources. And the way you multiply your resources is by investment. Even the Bible teaches it. Give a portion to 7, give a portion to 8. You know not the evil that comes upon the earth. So you must, by all means, learn the way of investment. Start small, you will become big with time. And then number 4 is the law of inheritance. Under universal order. You may not be doing anything. If your father did something, he can will something to you. But even in that order, if you inherit something, if you don't apply the first 3, over time you become poor. So everybody who wants to be financially empowered must understand the universal order for empowerment. Now, this is important and this is universal, so anybody who does it can prosper. But this is not God's only way. Why is that so? If you operate in the universal empowerment, it's you that will be glorified, not God. So a Mark Zuckerberg does not give glory to God. A Cristiano Ronaldo does not give glory to God. He gives glory to himself. Because it is God's indirect way of empowering men. So you may not even find God in it. That is why, in addition to the universal order, there is also a divine order of empowerment. And the divine order of empowerment also has its own protocols. The first protocol for divine financial empowerment is God must be your only source. You may have a talent, you may have a gift, you may have a job, but your consciousness must be that the Lord is my source. Look at David, for example. David was a king. David was a warrior. David was a psalmist. David was a poet. He had many things that he could attribute his source to. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the consciousness of a man who will walk under the divine order of prosperity. You must make God your source. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be added to you. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Him that watereth. All of these things are divine laws. And if God is your source, then you have entered the divine order of empowerment. And if God is your source, number one, you must acknowledge it. So you must tell him, Father, you are my source. Number two, you must make him your priority. You can't claim God is your source and you have no time for prayer meeting. You have no time for activities in the house of God. That means God is not your source. So you acknowledge it, you make God your priority, and you declare it. Let people know that God is your source. That's the first protocol of divine empowerment. Then the second protocol of divine empowerment is that you must connect to it by faith. If you don't believe it, it will not work. So you must believe it. You must be persuaded that this thing works and this thing is true. See, if you are in any place and, for example, they say give and you are offended, it means God is not your source. And it means you don't understand the faith order. If you are connected by faith, take for example, if I tell you now about something you believe in to do it, will you be offended?
No.
Maybe those who are gamblers. And then I show up, I say, there is a match, there is a sure bet. What will you do? Which match is that? I want to sow. I want to invest. Why? Because you believe it. Now, if they give you God's pattern and you are offended, it means you don't believe it. Jesus speaking, he said, be it done to you according to your faith. So the reason faith is important is because faith is what determines the measure that you can receive from God. So you connect by faith. The third protocol of divine financial empowerment is obedience. Is obedience. In John 2 verse 5, it says, whatsoever he tells you to do, do. Now, the Holy Ghost can give you specific instruction, but there's a general instruction God has given as far as financial empowerment is concerned. Give, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over, shall men give to your bosom. Paul was speaking in Philippians 4:15 and 19. He said, concerning giving and receiving, no church minister to me but you only. In verse 19, he said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, don't quote that scripture. It's not for everybody. It's for the church that gives, that my God supplies all their needs. Because this is God's way of empowering his people. If you don't give, you can't be empowered. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 8. It said, him that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. It said, for he shouldn't give out of necessity or grudgingly, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And in verse 8, he said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency, may abound in every good work. So the key obedient point is the place of giving. And you don't just give carelessly. You give cheerfully. You give as an act of honor. You give as an act of love. You give as an act of worship. There are laws that govern giving. And then you don't just give anyhow. Give to God and his agenda. Give to the servants of God. He that giveth to a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Give to your parents. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long. Give to the needy, orphans, widows, and strangers. And then give to yourself. If you are a giver, you can never be small. That is God's system. Now, how does God prosper you when you apply his system? Number one, he gives you wisdom. Number two, he gives you favor. Number three, he creates open doors of opportunity for you. And number four, he creates honorable connection for you. So these are God's channels of prosperity. And I don't have time to give you scripture for all of that, but a giver is wise.
Amazing. Thank you so very much. I'm sure we all desire to have more of you, but because of time, we'll just allow you to pray for 4 minutes and then would I allow you to leave?
Please. Let's rise up. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Aliyah. That you know what to receive. The Bible said a man can only give what he has. So let me tell you what you are about to receive. See, by the mercies of God, I have grace for speed. This one is an inheritance. I have it so I can give it to you. What takes others 10 years, I do in 1 month. It's by grace. What we are running in Abuja is 2 years old, but it's like a ministry of 20 years. It's a grace. When I pray for you, I need you to know what you can have. I have the grace for influence. I don't lobby for things. I don't beg for them. They come to me. The things happening with me and coming to me, I can't even receive all. I have the grace for healing and workings of miracles. It's by the mercy of God. Because something will fall on you here, and the result we show, it's not about what happens in the hall, it's about what you become. Sir, I have grace for wisdom and utterance. I can say things that I don't read. If I keep something calm, it's because I want to. I can shift the atmosphere in a moment by the mercy of God. And it's not for church. I've done MC before. I've spoken in public platform before. There is a grace to arrest the attention of a generation. I want to pray for you now. And I need you to know what will come upon your life. I have grace for favor. I don't beg for things. Things come to me on their own accord. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? There's about to be an activation here, now, this morning. Because an empowered generation is a gifted generation. Can you cry for 1 minute? Father, what you have put on that man, I want it. If that is your prayer and you are genuine this morning, something will rest upon you. Hallelujah. Hey! Hey! Hallelujah. Oh,
Parada Delevala Parina Tabacata Deleparoto Sabarada Libraco Sabrada Sariba Rabacate. Lift your hands to whatever. There's a fire. There's a fire that will descend here now. Some of you will receive peace. Some of you will receive wisdom. Some of you will receive the ability to create things. Because it's by the Spirit of the living God. Lift your hands toward heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to those watching online, I decree now, let there be an activation. The grace for speed, receive it now. The grace for favor, receive it now. The grace for signs and wonders, receive it now. The grace for finances, receive it now. The grace for open doors, receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Makarado Saba. Pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Maria Patekezana. Ravina Parakata Sabana. Sapapara Sabak. Saniga Paratonia Tabakatiza. Salete Tetene. Eruna Parata. Parakana Zandaya. Meriate. Manda Prakasura Babi. Thank you, Father. Now lift your hands. The spirit of utterance is the spirit of revival. And there are most of you that need to carry that fire for your generation. Others, the hand of God will come upon them. I want to lay hands on this one. This is where there is a transference of spirit. Father, everyone here desiring fire for his generation. On ground, online, wherever they are standing, such as I have, I give them as a token this morning. By the Spirit, carry that fire now. Carry that fire now. Others, help those that the Lord will touch. I want to lay hands on them. Carry that fire now. Carry that fire. Wherever you are standing, Pataras, Baragas, Taveta, Jaladia, Benatatulia, Baragata, Sata, Paragonda, Seta, is that John was a burning and a shining light. There are lights that burn. Now kings will come to your rising. The brightness of your rising. The flames of revival. The power to console the oracles of God. The link Kashuna Paradaka. Ah! God. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign.
Help them, help them, help them. Help them. The flames are coming, the flames are coming. The flames are coming. Let it burn, let it burn. Violent flames of the Spirit. Tere Kasida, Tatila, 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 Mataya. The seraphims are born. The coats of the presence. The garments of fire. Marida Paragata Vuras.
You ain't just in Zion
King. Kadosh. Shadows, you are mighty on your throne. The Lord is telling me now, there's somebody standing here that the grace for speed will come upon. Nations will open from every side. Nations. Nations. Whoever that one is, as the hand of God came upon Elijah, so let it come upon you now. Carry that grace. Somebody's been touched with the core of fire. The Lord wants to clothe you with the garment of a revivalist. Now you will talk, your generation will hear you. Now you will talk, the hearts of men will burn. Wherever you are standing, I give that commandment in the spirit by the fires of heaven. 1, 2, 3, carry that flame now. Intercept them. In my direction, the Lord is telling me He wants to anoint someone with the power to get well. He said, "Thou shalt remember the Lord your God. It is Him that giveth thee power to get well, to establish His covenant." Somebody is about to be anointed. This grace will be violent because it will shatter foundations, it will break limitations. Father, whoever that one is that you are giving this entrustment this morning, I speak as a custodian of the oracles of God. Let that oil rest now. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Thank you, Lord. I'm seeing somebody on my left here that has an infection on the sexual organ, like a scrotal infection. I know it's a bit embarrassing, you don't need to come out, but I speak over you now. That affliction dies this moment. It dies this moment. In the name of Jesus. Can we be quiet for a second? I'm hearing a shout in the spirit. Somebody is receiving a grace for influence. I'm seeing a horn exalted. It said, "My horn has thou exalted like the horn of the unicorn. You have anointed me with fresh oil." I'm hearing a shout in the spirit. Something is coming upon someone. You can't even contain it. There's a scream. Carry that grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.